New Year, same extra value meals at McDonald's. Now get a savory sausage McMuffin with egg, plus hash browns, and a small coffee for just $5.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
What's up, bingers? I'm joined today by the hosts of the amazing Murder in the Rain podcast. Please welcome Emily Rowney and Alicia Holland.
The internet's full of true crime podcasts. More and more are added to the list every day. Figuring out where to start or where to go next can be overwhelming. But have no fear, I'm here to help. I'm Bob Ruff, and this is the place to find your next true crime binge.
So it looks like we have our technical issues worked out. I've learned a lot about Emily and Alicia in just these first couple minutes that we've been speaking. Emily is tech support. Alicia is not tech support.
That is right.
Alicia's great crowd control when we go out, though.
Right, there you go. There's a good chance you may not hear her at all.
Yes. I'm crowd control and like... hustling to like get us deals on stuff.
Yeah.
That's where I come in.
You come in for like the Black Friday shopping.
Right.
So you guys are you're both in Portland?
Just outside of it. So we're about 40 minutes apart from each other. I'm on the south side, she's on the east side.
Very nice. And are you guys born and raised? I know you've been friends for over 20 years, I'm told.
Yeah.
Both from the Portland area originally?
I'm actually from what we call the Valley, which is Corvallis, so where Oregon State University is. So mm-hmm. I was born and raised there and then migrated up here a couple of years ago. And I've been here about 6 years, I think.
And I'm born and raised in Troutdale, which is outside of Portland. And after living my life other places, ended up back here. So
nice. So how did you guys meet 20 years ago?
Oh, we were literally just babies, of course.
We were babies. We met through a friend. I actually did musical theater with one of our good mutual friends, and she did children's theater with her. And we just somehow met at a party, I think, and then spent the whole summer together.
Nice.
After you decided I wasn't on heroin. That's my favorite story of our beginning of our friendship. She's like, that girl's on drugs.
My first interaction with her, she was very aggressive.
I like to have fun.
Who knew we would go into business together?
So you meet her, she's super aggressive, and you immediately jump to, it's obviously heroin.
Well, I'm also, I've never been a drinker, but I'm always a partier. I'm like, let's dance, let's get the music going, let's have a good time. And that does tend to lead people to think that other substances are involved. And I had a lot of dark eyeliner. So Northwest eyeliner, partying, drugs.
Drugs.
I mean, what other answer could it have been?
Now, I'm looking, so we record these on Zoom, and... Emily, you look like you're in like the set of Little Big Lies, and you're like, I'm reading that you have a dog, you have a daughter. How is your house, one, so neat, and two, so quiet?
It's just pointing at the clean area. And my dog is asleep, but I'm sure you'll see him. He's on that little dark pad there behind me.
Okay.
So he'll get up, I'm sure. He's very small.
It is the most well put together live. My wife would be jealous of how.
Isn't it amazing? Oh, I know her house, and the first thing I said, I was like, "Your house looks like a fake backdrop."
That's what I was looking. Like, she had a green screen. Like nobody's right. House.
She's
is
at
that.
The chalet.
I just got a new couch, so that's why it's clean in here.
I see you haven't taken your Christmas tree down yet.
I haven't. That's tomorrow's job. We'll see how far it gets.
Mine came down last night. I can't. My wife calls me a Grinch, but I'm really not. I like Christmas stuff, but she overdoes it. And so we have this constant battle. Like, she wants to put the Christmas tree up like November 1st.
Oh, yeah. No.
And I can't
say. So does she also start the music around then as well?
Yes, she starts the damn music. And she always has control. Like, when we're in my truck together, she always has control of the music. And so, yeah, it's 2 months of Christmas music. I left for, it was in November, I went on a work trip. And I come back and she's already got, she can't do the tree. It's too big, but she got all the Christmas decorations out and she just doesn't, because you get burned out. Christmas isn't cool when you're staring at the same stuff for 2 months. There's only so many versions of Oh Holy Night you can hear before you're sick of that song.
It's true, but as long as it's the Mariah Carey one, you're in good shape.
Well, I will tell you, I'm in a karaoke league and we had a Christmas theme 1 week and I did hear that song several times.
Did you just say you're in a karaoke league?
I am. Yes, it's super fun. But we're on a hiatus right now for a couple weeks because of COVID. But we're in first place currently. So, hey, it works on my benefit if we skip a few weeks.
How does
a hold that lead?
Yeah. How does a karaoke league work?
Well, I'm new to it, but it's super fun. So basically, you have a team of four to five, and then you can have alternates if people get sick. And each week, we have a theme. So it could be like 1970s rock, for instance. That was our first theme. Each person sings a solo in round one, in round two, and then round three is a group number. And then you get scored by other people.
There's like judges that score in there.
Yeah, judges. And most of them are like singers from the league, but it's still fun.
So is it like March Madness? Are there like brackets that you like work?
Yeah, kind of. We have our semifinals in a few weeks.
Oh, well, I could, good luck on your semifinals. Are you like the big soloist, the leader of the team?
Oh, no, I think all of us kind of have our thing. We all have different genres. We've got like an R&B. I do the country and kind of pop stuff. And then we have a guy who does oldies. So we have all of the bases covered.
They're like the Avengers of karaoke.
Yeah, basically. I wear my spandex too.
Yeah. It sounds like a really good time. I mean, usually when we always call our local bar that does, when they do karaoke, I try to avoid it on Friday nights because we call it scaryoke. Because it's a lot of really, which my wife is a huge people watcher, so she loves it.
Well, that's the best.
I can't handle the, like, all I do is every song is I just judge everyone the whole time.
I'm like, well, that's you can great with us. Yeah.
You go up and you put on a performance and then you sit back and judge everyone. That's karaoke.
Yeah. Like yeah, you really thought you were going to pull off Freddie Mercury here on Friday night at the getaway. Freddie Mercury.
I like to boo people when they pull out like Piano Man. Be like, no, that is 7 minutes long. You are bringing down the whole place.
Boo. That's a faux pas. That is way too long.
See, Alicia, you and I could get along. Oh,
yeah.
Because, you know, it's generally considered to be uncouth to boo people at a karaoke contest. So. You and I'm happy to join in with that.
As you've heard, I'm quite aggressive.
Yeah,
so.
Get these assholes off the stage. There's
exactly. Oh, I have no problem. I've removed Emily and I back in olden times when we would go out. You know, it's like many times have I been out and it's like, oh no, she put in this really hard song before she had all of her fireball shots and now she can't do it. And so you just kind of go up and be like, oh no, honey, that's not the rhythm at all. Let me help you. And you just like kind of take the microphone away to save the bar from like Spice Girls, but you know, totally drunk.
See, I don't know anything about music. All I know is every song I hear, my brain is trying to hear the person who actually sings it. And so I'm just annoyed that whoever's up there is.
But nobody meets your expectations.
No one.
Like, I think we could show you a good time. Yeah. Yeah. Right. I think we could.
Well, I've never been to a league. I mean, that's where the best of the best come out to play on karaoke night. Is there anybody in the karaoke league that's just horrible? Like, you're like, what are you? Because, you know, like.
Yes. So I'll give you a little story. I hope they don't listen, but our first.
Oh, please name names. That would be fantastic. Yeah.
I don't remember her name, but our first week we were two people short and there was a girl who was looking to be on a team. So somebody's like, do you want to just have her on the team? I'm like, sure. I just assume everyone can sing because we're all in a karaoke league.
Right.
Where you're going to be judged. Right. And she just kept drinking and like, I don't drink. My teammates maybe had one. And it just got worse as the night went. She only sang Michael Bublé. It was not great. She brought our score so far down. It took us 6 weeks to get out of that hole.
So was she not invited back again?
Oh, no. That night I asked. I'm like, hey, listen, we already think we have a full team. So she could maybe be a backup in case our team can't come. And then I desperately found somebody to join the team.
to get her off. That's like me on a dart league. Which I did one time. I got suckered into it by a friend that was like, we just need one guy. Come on. It's a good excuse to get. I was like 22 years old And I'm not good at darts. And then they got mad at me every week because I sucked at darts.
Oh, that's hard. You're
like, I told you.
I'll never be in the league again. They broke my heart.
Oh,
I'm still working on that self-esteem.
She's chasing it through leagues.
Yeah. You know, the karaoke thing, I think I got turned off to it. Like I was bartending in a karaoke bar.
Oh, that explains it.
Oh my God. In the 90s. And it was fun. It's a funny story because I was only 19 years old, but the bar, I look older than I am. And my brother, who was 21, hung out at that bar all the time. And then I went in to try to get a job, and they thought I was his older brother, and they gave me a job as a bartender at 19. Like, never checked my driver's license. So I bartended for a whole summer and was, you know, doing shots behind the bar and having a good time.
Oh my gosh.
Fucking 19 years old. It was fabulous. But on Friday nights, I ran the upstairs bar where the karaoke went on. And it was one of those things where, like, karaoke started at 7, but nobody goes to the bar at 7 to do karaoke.
Oh, yeah. No one wants to hear those songs at 7.
Right. And what would happen is every week, right at 7, the same 5 people would show up and sing the same.
Because there was no line.
Right. They would show up and they would be drinking Coke and they didn't tip. And then they would sing the same songs over and over every week, over and over.
A lot of Lou Bega and Journey, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
A lot of Journey, I'm sure.
A lot of country songs, a lot of 90s country.
What is your least favorite song ever then for karaoke?
Oh, I knew you. I'm trying to think of that. I can see in my mind this one girl that would come sing. It's just like a classic country song. And she would do it so badly, and I cannot for the life of me think of what song. I think I've blocked it out.
Yeah, it'll pop into your mind about 3 a.m.
Right.
Go, Reba McEntire. No.
But the Freddie, you know, to be honest with you, anybody singing anything Freddie Mercury just pisses me off because I'm a big Freddie Mercury fan, and no one can do him, so stop freaking trying to do him. And that's every fair. Time I go to karaoke, somebody is trying to sing some Queen, and they can't. And it just ruins my time.
Yeah, usually Queen is like a drunken mess. It's always like a group number with way too many people on the stage.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. When they do Bohemian Rhapsody is a cop-out, flat out. That's the, I want to do karaoke, but I'm really nervous to do karaoke. So I want like actually a choir and I want everyone singing with me so I can feel like I've done karaoke. That's what Bohemian Rhapsody is.
Go to Japanese style. We're in your own room and we don't have to hear it.
So my strategy is, in the times of my life when I've been roped into karaoke and have had enough drinks to do so, is I sing Don McLean's American Pie for two reasons. One.
To piss everyone off.
No, everyone loves it. I mean, granted, I'm
everybody old. Sings along, right?
Yeah, I'm old and I haven't done this in probably 20 years. One, his voice seems to be not very hard to mimic. Because I don't know how to sing. I just mimic other people's voice.
Yeah, and he's kind of like talk singing.
Yeah, yeah. And two, everyone loves that song. And so you really only have to get through like the first verse. And as soon as you get to the chorus, the entire bar starts singing with you. And then they remember like, that guy was amazing. He had the whole bar. He was so good. The whole bar. Couldn't hear a word I was singing. So that was always my strategy, was a little American Pie.
Nice. Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
Yep. The last time I did it, I tried a little Elvis Jailhouse Rock, and it didn't. You know, it sounds good when I do it in my car, you know, when I'm driving around by myself.
Then I'm different. It sounds like, great.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, the Kings don't have shit on me, you know, as I was saying. Turned out to not be the case. About, you know, when you get in that karaoke bar and you start singing and you can hear yourself, and it gets super awkward because I start hearing myself singing. I'm like, well, that doesn't sound good. And
wait, that's not what I thought I sounded
like.
That's
kind of strange for a podcast host because I feel like, aren't we here because we love our voices?
Oh, God, no.
I know for Emily and I, it's like, hello, we're here to sing for you.
Oh, yeah, we just go on and on. Hours of editing for Josh.
I've come to accept the fact that people seem to like my voice when I speak, because to me it sounds terrible. But I think that's true of a lot of people. But when I listen to it back, I'm like, you sound nasally. And then when I start doing the podcast, people start telling me like, oh, you have a great voice. I like to fall asleep to you, which is a fucking insult, by the way. People don't know that.
You know, people people do say that like it's a compliment. We've had that a few times.
All the time.
Yeah. I see you as I fall asleep. I'm like, but that's not the point.
It's like, thank you. My research and hours of work. Love that.
Yeah. Yeah. They're always been like, I love Bob. He's so great. His podcast's so great. I fall asleep to him every night. I'm like, that's not really the point of what I do. Is for, you know, that's actually how I got, I'm friends now with Sean T, the fitness guy, the insanity guy.
Oh,
I
yeah. Love him. Oh my God. What was his thing back in the day? I did that.
It was insanity. T25. He did hip hop abs.
Yeah.
He did it all.
Yeah.
But that's, so he kept tweeting when I was early, when I was doing the show, and he'd always tweet out and he'd be like, date night with Bob, falling asleep. And he kept tweeting all these like, he would listen to my podcast and go to sleep
as though he was
complimenting me. And right. I was like, hey, fucker, like that's, you know, I'm saying some important
stuff. It's so boring and uninteresting. Yeah. I can just doze right off.
It's actually not how it went down at all. So what it was, I didn't know who he was at all, but my wife is a huge fan. And so he had reached out to me and asked me some question or something on Twitter. And
oh,
so
that's awesome.
For weeks, I was every time my wife would be talking to me, I'm like, excuse me, I'm busy over here talking to Sean T.
I read an article that the reason we don't like the sound of our own voice is because we are hearing it differently.
Right.
Because when we're speaking, there's like, it's resonating.
Yeah. There's like vibrations soul. Like through your inner mm-hmm. ear. So you hear yourself differently than. I'm yeah. used to it now.
So if you hold your hands like this, you usually sound more realistic.
Also, if you hold your hands like that, you look really silly. So, I mean, I wouldn't, I mean, that might work, but I don't think I would recommend walking around.
I'm just hearing my actual voice.
Yeah, I try to be real, so I'm trying to hear what I actually sound
like. Well, when you're singing American Pie, you can try it out.
It's, you know, it's like a variation on the finger in the ear. Yeah.
And for those of you listening at home, she had her hands held next to her ears as though they were like elephant ears, palms back, top forward. And I just, you know, you go ahead and try it. I'm just gonna look.
It works. It's really good.
You know, I just wear monitor headphones, and I finally got used to what I sound like doing it that way instead of.
Well, I think you have a lovely voice. Too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Alicia.
Forget the pressure to overhaul your life. The new year doesn't need a new you. It needs you. Grounded, supported, and ready to grow. Grow Therapy helps you make meaningful change at your pace and on your time. Whether it's your first time in therapy or your 50th, Grow makes it easier to find a therapist who fits you, not the other way around. They connect you with thousands of independent, licensed therapists across the U.S., offering both virtual and in-person sessions, nights, and weekends. You can search by what matters, like insurance, specialty, identity, or availability to get started in as little as 2 days. And if something comes up, you can cancel up to 24 hours in advance at no cost. There are no subscriptions and no long-term commitments. You just pay per session. Grow helps you find therapy on your time. Whatever challenges you're facing, Grow Therapy is here to help. Grow accepts over 100 insurance plans, including Medicaid, in some states. Sessions average about $21 with insurance, and some pay as little as $0, depending on their plan. Visit growtherapy.com/get started today to get started. That's growtherapy.com/get started. growtherapy.com/get started. Availability and coverage vary by state and insurance plan.
New Year, same extra value meals at McDonald's. Now get a savory sausage McMuffin with egg, plus hash browns and a small coffee for just $5.
For limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California and for delivery.
Forget the pressure to overhaul your life. The new year doesn't need a new you. It needs you. Grounded, supported, and ready to grow. Grow Therapy helps you make meaningful change at your pace and on your time. Whether it's your first time in therapy or your 50th, Grow makes it easier to find a therapist who fits you, not the other way around. They connect you with thousands of independent, licensed therapists across the U.S., offering both virtual and in-person sessions, nights, and weekends. You can search by what matters, like insurance, specialty, identity, or availability, to get started in as little as 2 days. And if something comes up, you can cancel up to 24 hours in advance at no cost. There are no subscriptions and no long-term commitments. You just pay per session. Grow helps you find therapy on your time. Whatever challenges you're facing, Grow Therapy is here to help. Grow accepts over 100 insurance plans, including Medicaid, in some states. Sessions average about $21 with insurance, and some pay as little as $0, depending on their plan. Visit growtherapy.com/get started today to get started. That's growtherapy.com/get started. growtherapy.com/get started. Availability and coverage vary by state and insurance plan.
New Year, same extra value meals at McDonald's. Now get a savory sausage McMuffin with egg, plus hash browns, and a small coffee for just $5.
For limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
Now tell me, so what are you guys at now? Are you guys full-time in the podcasting gig? Do you have day jobs? I know, Alicia, you have a day job, right? Because
that is not right.
That is wrong.
Emily has the
out
job.
Out of date. Out of date. So, I have the job.
So Erica, who's now cringing right now, I'm sure, in her house, who's listening, she wrote in my notes, Alicia, her day job has her, quote, up close and personal with the newest generation affected by households of abuse and neglect. And that's incorrect.
So that would be... that would be our bad. Pre-COVID, I worked in education. I worked in mental health for about 13 years. The extreme was the kids that could no longer attend any school, but they weren't quite ready for full-time hospital residential care.
Uh-huh.
And so that's what I did. And then we went remote. And then I was like, actually, I've done this long enough. See you later. And I have a side gig of a cleaning job that I've had for a long time, but cleaning pays really well. So if anyone's looking for something, you should look into cleaning. And it's
on TikTok too.
It's a very not time consuming job. So I'm allowed to really focus on the cases we do. Actually, this year I started another podcast, on the Golden Girls because I needed something lighter. And so that's kind of my personal side thing, and then it allows me to do more writing and all sorts of stuff. It's kind of full time, but it's not like, you know, I'm rolling in the dough quite yet.
Right, just not quite yet. You know, the Golden Girls is my wife's absolute favorite show, and this is going to be a few weeks before this airs, but we are just days past the passing of Sweet Betty White. Your thoughts?
Yeah. Ooh, I don't want to get emotional on your show.
I'm the Barbara Walters of podcasts. Let's bring it out.
If I could be a tree. Sorry, that's a real old person joke. Throwback to Barbara Walters. It's funny because we started the Golden Girl show. It's called Always Be My Sisters. And I was just like, you know, I love that show. And there is such a community. There are pages on Facebook that have like 30,000 people on them that still watch it every day. And it's like, why is that after all these years? And so I walk through and then I find, like, if they reference something in the news, I find the real life news story. If they talk about a historical thing, or I call them the oh boys of the jokes that maybe didn't age well, that wouldn't be aired today. And so in doing all that, it's like I've fallen in love with them all over again. And so with Betty, it was like, of course, that's inevitable. She's 100 almost. But yeah, it is. Seeing the community come together has really been heartwarming because everyone's hurt. It's like your grandma or your auntie or your somebody, you know. So yeah, it's been a kind of a beautiful grief process because you see everyone hurting, but digitally it's like a big family hug. We're all like, it'll be okay. We're happy. Everyone's together now. And so it's really kind of a beautiful thing.
It's such a bummer that she got so close to that 100
I know.
Year.
I did see a meme though that said because of how many years she lived and the amount of leap days that she lived through, she did actually technically live enough days to be to her 100th birthday. Yeah.
I saw a meme that said, should we all be a little nervous that even Betty White said fuck 2022?
Oh yeah. She's like, I'm taking you with me. Yeah,
I'm out. Forget this.
Yeah.
My wife just discovered a new show. Well, it's an old show, but a show she had never watched before. What is it called? They're living in Cleveland.
Hot in Cleveland.
Hot in Cleveland. That's the one. She's been watching that show now as her new binge. But she'll always, if I'm out of town when I come home, there's guaranteed to be hours of Golden Girls still. You can say, like, all of the streaming services, just nothing but Golden Girls the entire time I was gone. It's her happy place. So,
yeah.
Emily, what do you do? You have a day job.
I do have a day job. I work in market research. I am a product marketing manager. So I work very closely with the product team so that I can translate what our products do with our marketing and sales team. So that way we can actually sell it. It's interesting. So I used to be a product manager and I worked in technology and it was very stressful. I worked very long hours. So I have recently moved into product marketing to kind of be able to focus more time on podcasting because I was running on fumes before.
Right. Now, do you in your job have any connection to the folks who write, say, ad copy for podcasts for any of your products or for any kind of ad copy?
No, but you know, that's interesting. We have considered that. We are kicking off our own podcast. So I'm doing a lot. I do the writing for that and I'm hosting it and helping with the technology as you've learned already. So we're likely going to be buying ad space and promoting ourselves through that. So we'll see how that goes. But I'm guessing it will be myself in marketing who will write it.
Well, let me give you a little clue to help you guys out. When you write your ad copy, just write what you want people to say with a little bit of I just yesterday I was doing on Mondays.
Oh, you got one?
Oh my God. Have you ever seen those copies? It's like, here's your ad copy. They have paid for you to do a 60-second ad. Here's a 14-page PDF document about the product.
We just did a 2-minute ad the other day that was supposed to be a minute.
Yeah. And then it's not even like the bullet points. It's like, we want you to first open up by starting with an anecdote about your use of this product and follow that up by mention your personal experience with using 3 different items from the package and then go through the 12-page document and find some information there that you think would resonate with it. You're not paying me to write your ad copies.
Like, I was going to say, that's not the job. Like, that's an aspect of it, but not like that.
I love writing those ads. I don't know what is wrong.
Oh, they are fun.
I think it's just that like part of our personality is that just like, I can make this better. Let's do it.
Oh, I'm the same way. But as long as I have like, so I have 2 shows, we have 3 episodes. So I'm usually dealing with a dozen, you know, 10, 12 ads a week altogether. And I don't mind like taking the copy and like, okay, so the intro, they want it to be something like this. I can put my little spin on it and they want some of these body points. As long as it's, you know, it's a page that I'm working on. It's the what it takes me an hour and a half to write my ad copy. I can
learn. Yeah.
No, not worth it.
Yeah. So don't do that. Don't be that guy.
Thank you.
It's a little bit of friendly advice. So your podcast, Murder in the Rain. How did this come to be? How did the two of you lifelong or 20-year friends, you both look to be about 23 years old. So you
yes, it is actually a lifelong friendship.
Yeah.
We met at the hospital during our birth.
Right. When I thought she was on heroin.
Right. And you were like, that baby's on heroin. Look
it's
at her
the
dark.
Northwest. We're very edgy up here.
Dark eye makeup. And she's so aggressive with her crying.
Right. I think it started on a road trip. We both are very much into true crime, dark, like horror movies. So that's always been something we talk about. We like to watch documentaries. And I was super into true crime podcasts. And I think I made her listen to one on a road trip. And then the conversation just kind of spiraled. And Alish had a great idea. Why don't you tell about your idea?
Well, so, and I'm always very open about this. I don't really listen to podcasts because I struggle to focus. And I'm like, where do people have the time? And so she's like, oh, you've got to hear the show. And yeah, we were on, it was a several hour road trip and she played it. And I was like, oh, that's cool. And I was like, you know, Portland and the Pacific Northwest has so many stories. I mean, we've got Ted Bundy and the Green River Killer and on and on and on. We could do like a party bus rental thing where we took people on tours and be like, and this was where Ted Bundy worked. And this is, and then we were talking about it more and we're like, well, that's kind of like gruesome. And this was several years ago before we, you know, especially for me, I know I've grown a lot personally into understanding more victimization and stuff. I was like, you know, how could we do it to where it's not kind of like grotesque and but it's still interesting? And then we just got to talking and it all just clicked. I happened to know Josh, our producer. I knew he was an audio guy and I had met him several years prior. And I texted him. I was like, would you be interested in that? He's like, sure. And we sat around one day and we came up with the name and we talked about it. All just fell together. We all knew exactly who was going to take what role and what we wanted it to look like. We didn't even have to like go into detail about the cases because we knew exactly how we wanted to present it and what the important points of it would be, because for me, it's like it has to have a purpose in telling the stories. And it all just came together. And here we are just about 3 years later. And, you know, it's going great.
And Josh and I are avid podcast listeners. So we have a lot of opinions on what we like and dislike about format and voices and music. So I think that helped. Like, we're all balanced. And we don't normally do our cases together, Alicia and I. We each alternate. So I'll do a case and she reacts. And usually we don't tell each other what that case is going to be in advance. And we like that because it gives us the creative freedom to make it our own. We each speak a little differently. We each gravitate towards different cases. So that's been really fun to just both have our platform to do that.
And I think it's fun having one of us listen because, you know, it's kind of like when you watch a comedy and there's no laughter and you're not quite sure if you're supposed to be laughing. And it's kind of with this, it's like, she might say something in her case that she didn't realize was either jarring or groundbreaking or something. And I can be like, wait, 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 can you explain that more? So we take turns kind of being the vicarious connection of the listener to say, wow, that's amazing. Or wow, that's awful. Or can I get more info?
Mm-hmm. It's a great format because you get the kind of fly on the wall. You have somebody in the room asking the questions that you're thinking while you're listening to your episodes. I also want to point out that I just figured out the name of your podcast, Murder in the Rain.
Oh, yay. We didn't have to explain it.
Yeah, because, you know, Portland, it rains a lot there. Yeah, their Pacific Northwest.
That was Josh's contribution. I wanted to go more like basic bitch with it and go like Pacific Northwest True Crime or PNW. And Josh is like, no, I have a better idea.
Red wine and true crime.
Oh,
or whatever
God.
Beverage.
Fill in
is
the
not,
blank drink. Yeah. Fill in the
not
blank.
Not to knock them because there are shows that I adore that do that. That I, you know, have been there since the beginning. But I was like, there's no way. There's no way we're gonna have something like that.
Only because it's so saturated.
You know? Yeah. Murder in the Rain is clever. So clever that it took me 28 minutes to figure out why called that. And I consider myself a bit of an investigator. That's pretty good for me. Idiot.
I've solved it.
Also, I might be a bit too transparent about my idiocy sometimes.
Oh, hey.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten. Rakuten.com.
New year, same extra value meals at McDonald's. Now get a savory sausage McMuffin with egg, plus hash browns and a small coffee for just $5.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California and for delivery.
I'm going to be the audience member in the room as you guys now walk us through our case this week, which is the murders of Ashley Pond and Miranda Gaddis. Is that how you pronounce her last name?
Yep.
All right. So tell me about this crazy case, or the two cases really that come into one.
Yeah. So Alicia, I don't know if is it cool if I kick it off with the girls and then maybe we backtrack to give some history?
Yeah, for sure. And also, I just want to share we decided on this case because it was our very first episode. And the only time in our series that Emily and I tag teamed a case, which was quite the undertaking because you had to choose sections and topics. So it's really fun to revisit it with both of us telling it like we originally did.
It's also very impressive and rare that any podcaster that's been around for 3 years wants to direct people back to their first episode. Because I try to keep people as far away from my first whole season as possible.
We're like, listen to this one and then listen to a recent one.
I haven't listened to the audio quality, so that I'm not sure of. But it's so funny because I pulled up the document this morning to, you know, refresh myself. And I just kind of giggled because it's only 10 pages. And I did my next case that's coming up, and I wrote like, it's like 20 pages or something. And it's just me. And I didn't think it was like nothing. It was work, but it wasn't like, oh, what an undertaking. And then I pulled this. I'm like, 10 pages. What were we doing?
And I said, to be fair, we wanted to do more conversation on that first episode, which took up a bulk of that entire episode. So
right.
It
right.
worked out.
All right. So tell me about this. So Emily, you're going to tell us about the girls first.
Yeah, definitely. So we live in Portland, which is just outside of Oregon City. And there was a huge case that kind of shook us both. And when we came together to make the podcast, we're like, this is the perfect one because we have family members similar in age. So Ashley and Miranda are, so Ashley's 12, Miranda's 13. They live in Oregon City, which is just outside of Portland. They're from a lower income apartment complex. So they both had, you know, kind of tragic backgrounds, both struggled with some sort of sexual abuse in their background. Miranda's father and her mother's boyfriend both abused her and went to prison. Ashley learned that her dad wasn't her real dad at nine, I think just after 9 years old, and was forced to meet her birth father. And then he sexually abused her. So these girls had a lot of struggles, but they bonded together. So in middle school, they were best friends, always together. And on March 1st is when Ashley's born, excuse me. It's been a while. So in 2001, these girls, one of them disappeared. Ashley just apparently was on her way to the bus stop, and no one saw her again. She didn't get to school. The bus driver said she didn't get on the bus. And what happened? Nobody cared. Police said she's a runaway. They don't make a lot of money. They're in a low income area. She's a troublemaker. She probably wants attention. So no one cared. And then exactly 2 months, almost to the day, her best friend disappeared. So 13-year-old Miranda, after just giving a statement to the news about how her best friend and how she misses her and wants her back, she disappears as well. So they start looking into suspects, and finally now they're taking it seriously. They're like, wait a minute, one could have been a runaway, two maybe could be runaways, but it looks to be a bit more serious. So they look into the apartment complex, and there I think was 23 different male suspects just in their apartment. So the FBI comes on, and it's taking months and months and months to interview these people. And one by one, they're clearing them. They're clearing the fathers and the boyfriends, and they're getting nowhere. So there's kind of a uproar in the city, but everyone is saying, wait, we all know who it is. It's this man, Ward Weaver the third. And so Alicia, maybe you want to kind of paint the picture of who this guy is.
Yeah. So Ward Weaver was known in the area. And his whole family was actually known because he had issues where even his own grandparents were abusive. His father then, he murdered a woman and, along with other things, like he had kidnapped a woman that he took to be in his truck for months on end to just be like a sexual toy. And unbeknownst to Ward Weaver the third, he had helped his dad bury this woman's body multiple times. He kept moving the body and had his son come out to help bury her. And so that was his childhood. So he went on, he was charged because he had attempted to kidnap some teenagers from a bowling alley and attempted to assault them. But there were no charges brought because he had signed up to the military, and they're like, oh, he's shipping out. So that problem is gone. So there were so many opportunities to either get him help or get him in a position where he couldn't hurt people. And that kind of thing happened over and over. He was abusive with his partners, wives and girlfriends, and his own children. And he kind of became a fixture in the neighborhood where people knew that his house wasn't the safest place. And Ashley, in running away from the problems in her home, but just in the neighborhood, would go there because Ward had a daughter of a similar age,
Mallory.
So so she's spending a lot of time with Mallory at the Weaver home, but for, Ashley and for Miranda. Miranda was like, you guys should not go there. And it was rumored that that was because Ward had made an attempted assault on her as well. And so she was like, don't be at that house. There was also a complaint from Ward's son that he had raped his girlfriend. So this guy was just known as this kind of monster of a person, and everyone knew it, but then nothing was coming from it. So he was looked at as a suspect, and then he started giving interviews with the local news because this was starting, the stories were getting traction. There were billboards up for the girls. And he does this interview with the news where he literally walks the news person through his home. And we see like a locked fridge that has like a little padlock on it. He goes out to his brand new concrete that's been poured in the backyard and he stands on it with her. And I remember, even though I was a teen, I remember watching going like, don't we all know what's under that concrete? And it was such a like slap in the face to everyone that was concerned about these young girls.
And then everyone kind of jumped in and tried to help solve it. So, you know, the public doesn't realize the FBI is looking into it. They're investigating a lot of things in the background. But everyone else is going, wait a minute, they're not doing anything. So we've got Linda, who's a family member of one of the girls, investigating. She's a PI. She's following Ward, sending her friend who has a cadaver dog over to his house. This guy knocks on the door. Ward's like, yeah, come into my house. Come check out my yard. The dog indicated at the slab of concrete, yet nobody arrested him. So it was just ongoing. And as they looked into the Ward's relationship with the girls, some really disturbing things came to light with Ashley. Ashley went on vacation with him for 2 weeks and told her friends he had raped her. She told a teacher he had raped her. That teacher called DHS. Nothing happened. Another teacher saw her in the car with Ward Weaver on his lap, kissing him. And she called DHS and nothing happened. So it was just failure after failure. And so everyone was very angry that these two girls were obviously hurt, probably dead by now, and nobody was really doing anything. Their families were even making signs. And that's where the title of our episode, Dig Me Up, comes from. They wrote that on signs and stuck it in his yard because everyone knew. But it took, I think, 6 months before they finally interviewed him and indicted him. And that was thanks to the accusation by his son. So he attempted to rape his son's girlfriend, and somebody saw her running outside naked. He ended up getting arrested because of that. And then they finally could search the property.
Yeah, the son was actually the one to call the police and say, not only is my girlfriend reporting this, but I can tell you about Ashley Miranda. And so because he spoke up, and we talk about that all the time on our show, we'll be covering a case that's, I mean, our newest episode today is from the 80s about two missing kids. And it's like somebody knows something and they just have to speak up. And that's exactly what happened here, because the son called the police and was like, it's exactly that. And I can tell you everything about it.
Yeah. And then it was through the search warrant. One of the bodies was found. Was it underneath a shed or in a shed?
Somewhere? Yeah, in a shed.
In a shed. So he was arrested on the 13th, and then it kind of rapidly happened after that. The first body they found was Ashley's in the shed. She was cramped into, I think, a microwave box and then into another. I mean, a tiny box, you can imagine. Fully nude except for socks, I believe. And the flies were just horrible. The guy knew when he opened the door that there was a body in there. Mm-hmm. And then within hours, they found Miranda. Miranda was found first. Excuse me. Miranda was found in the shed. Then Ashley was found under the slab in a barrel. And then a bunch of witnesses came forward after that. Somebody who knew the barrel there, his ex-wife was like, yeah, I saw a barrel there before the concrete was there. So luckily people came forward after that.
And then it was believed that because Ashley was then saying that Ward was sexually assaulting her, that was why she became a target. And then it's possible that maybe Miranda was like talking to people about what Ashley had been saying, or talking to Mallory Ward, or just word was getting out. And so it is believed that this was just his way of covering up his crimes with more crimes.
Yeah. And he lured her by, I think, everyone thinks he was like, your friend's in here, come get her. And she willingly went inside to help her friend. And then it all happened. But what's interesting is a lot of, you know, I mentioned the failures with DHS, but a lot of stuff came to light. They thought she went missing in the very beginning, Ashley, on her way to school, but they think it may have actually been the night before, because she was found with a 0.7 blood alcohol. And they think that maybe she went to him for comfort and he got her drunk the night before, because her mom never actually saw her. She just said goodbye as she was walking out the door. So nobody really wanted to listen to that, though. The police, you know, they were like, no, we're just, let's open and shut it. So it's just a lot of failures that I think Oregon has learned from because of this case.
Did you say 0.7 or 0.07?
0.17.
0.17. God, she could have, I don't know that they determined the cause of death, but God, that's you'd think that'd be close to alcohol poisoning, especially for a 13-year-old girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. And these girls were tiny, you know, they were really small girls. And you know, there's so many disturbing aspects to this. And there's something for me that always hits is that the girls were close to his daughter and they would have slumber parties all the time. So he was like this surrogate father for these girls that were seeking that. And it's always so frustrating and heartbreaking when you hear about these predators that just see someone that's already been a victim so many times in both of these young girls' lives, victimized, and then to be like, perfect, that's what I'm looking for. It's just abhorrent.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's tragic that so many people had information and had seen things over time and didn't speak up, but at least at the end of the day, the case was solved and their bodies were found. Yeah. And you know, if closure is a thing, that then at least we know what happened to them. They're not still missing years later. Right. But to hear the full version of that story in that case, along with many others, you guys are releasing episodes every other week. Is that right? Every other Tuesday.
Every other week. And then we also on Patreon release on the alternate weeks, we have episodes as well.
So lots of cases. Check out their catalog. Their names are Emily and Alicia. The podcast is called Murder in the Rain. Check it out. And it could be your next true crime binge. Thanks so much, ladies, for joining me today.
Thank you. That was great.
Thank you for having us.
Crime Binge is an NBI Studios production and is distributed by Audioboom. Produced and edited by Mike Bussing. Music and artwork by Shane Yoder of PutThemInASong.com. Our website, TrueCrimeBinge.com, was created by Katie Ross of CreatedInTandem.com. If you're a listener and would like to recommend a future guest or a podcaster that would like to request an interview, you can do so right on our website. And again, that web address is TrueCrimeBinge.com. If you're enjoying the show, please do me a huge favor and take a minute to rate and review us on iTunes or whatever platform you're using to listen. And make sure you give us a follow on social media. We can be found everywhere at True Crime Binge. Thank you so much for listening, and make sure you tune in next Wednesday morning for another podcaster, another case, and another True Crime Binge.
Job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner. So you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work. With over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you. And most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.